delighted to see those of you who are present physically, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We have a few announcements. On Monday, food pantry volunteers are Jan Nelson and Linda Champion. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will have Bible study here. Wednesday at 6:15, Soup, Supper, and Worship will be here once again. I want to thank Loretta for being the cantor for last Wednesday and for agreeing to do it again this coming Wednesday, and for Scott for taking over as the youth while I'm gone. On Thursday at 2 p.m., there will be bell choir practice, and there will not be Bible study over at the UCC until I return. It's almost Easter, which is amazing. Time is going by quickly. We have the ability to get Easter lilies this year for $25 a plant. Please place your order through the church by Sunday, April 3rd. Jean will place the order with Johnny Appleseed Nursery in Casper on April 4th and pick up the plants on Thursday, April 7th, to be brought to the church. The plants will be displayed in the sanctuary on Easter Sunday in the weeks following, but you may pick up your plant from the church anytime after Easter Sunday. Are there any other announcements?
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, "It is Precious Lord, Take My Hand," number 773.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the fifth chapter of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept Passover in the evening on the 14th day in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day that they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 32 responsibly. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no honor.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the dews of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful may make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding. You must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked. That mercy and grace is those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. The second reading is from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have not given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel is a familiar one, isn't it? How many times have you heard this over the years? Yeah, that many times. One of the problems with stories like this is that you've heard it so many times that you stop listening. And so my challenge is to find a way for you to listen to it and to hear something new in this old familiar story. When you hear this story, who do you identify with most? Just out of curiosity.
The oldest. Yes.
You identify with the oldest. Does anyone identify with the younger son? Or with the father?
Or with the sheep.
Or with the fatted calf.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. So we've heard most of the story from the younger son's perspective. So what I want to do is to tell the story again, a couple of times, from the perspective of the older son and the father. Remember how this all begins. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so he told them a story. There is no way that I'm going into this feast. Do you understand the shame that has been caused to this family? To go and ask for his inheritance while our father was still alive is the same as to say, "Father, I wish you were dead." And so he became dead to me as well. Now, I've worked hard all my life, knowing that I'm going to inherit most of this property. So I know I'd better take really good care of it and work very hard. But this younger one, he's always been headstrong, always wanting to be independent. And when he went to our father and asked for his inheritance, I know I should have argued about it. But instead, I didn't. And our father did the unthinkable and actually split the property between us during his lifetime. When all the law says that that is a foolish thing to do, never give your children property while you're still alive. But even then, when you divide the property that way, the understanding is that you know it's yours, but you don't do anything with it. Not until it really becomes yours. And what did he do? He went out and sold our land. He sold our flocks. He sold our herds. What he thought was his portion. But think of it. Think of how over the years that land, those herds, those flocks would have contributed so much to our wealth. And instead, he liquidated his assets, turned it into cash, and went to I was told it was to some distant land. And over the years, reports would come by that he was having these lavish parties. People were flocking around him, of course, because he had money. We really didn't know what became of him, and I really didn't care. Because he was dead to me. He was dead to us. And so I continued to work the land as I always have, dutiful older son that I am. And one day when I was out there working as always, slaving away under the hot sun, I heard an unfamiliar sound, very strange, the sound of music and partying. We haven't heard music and partying since he left. And so I had to ask one of the servants, "What is going on over there?" I couldn't believe what he said. He said, "Your brother has come back." And I said, "I have no brother." He said, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf. Because he's got him back safe and sound." I was horrified. He's throwing a party for this one who has squandered our fortune? He's throwing a party for him? He's killed the fatted calf, the one we were saving? And so I became very, very angry, understandably angry. How could he do something like this? How could either of them do something like this? And my father came out and began to plead with me. He told me that I should go in and celebrate with everyone else. The whole town is there celebrating. And I'm thinking, how much money is this going to cost? The fatted calf, all the food, all the wine, it's coming out of my... And I refused. Instead, I said, listen, for all these years, I have worked like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed a single one of your commands, not even one. And you have never given me so much as a young goat in order to celebrate with my friends. But then this son of yours comes back, who is, how he's wasted his money on, I don't know, on prostitutes, on dissolute living, on you know, wine and song, whatever. He comes back, and you killed the fatted calf for him? This is ridiculous. And my father said, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. That he was lost and has been found. We don't have to celebrate. Why should we celebrate when he comes back? Think of the shame that he's brought on this family. I'm not going to celebrate. I'm going to go back to work. Now I have more costs that I need to recoup for this party. My younger son has always been headstrong. But I was stunned when he came to me one day and asked me for his share of his inheritance. It's not something that is normally done. But I agreed. And I divided the property between my two sons, my older one, my younger one. The older one gets twice as much as the younger. So the younger son had his one-third of my estate. I wasn't sure what he was going to do with it. I wasn't expecting that he was going to sell the land and the flocks and the herds. Nor was I expecting him to leave. It took him a few days in order to convert everything to money. And he took off. Didn't even look back. And I stood and watched him until his figure faded away in the distance. But in my heart, I wanted him back. My heart was broken. And all I wanted was for him to return. On occasion, we heard reports. I was hoping he was doing well, that he was taking his inheritance and making his fortune, that he would come back glorious, wealthy, and would repay me what. But I waited and waited, and no sign of him. For years. No sign, no word. And one day, I was looking out, way at the edge of town, I saw a figure. Bent over, in rags. barefoot. And I looked and my heart leapt because despite his appearance, I knew who he was. And I know I'm not supposed to run, but what else could I do but run and meet him before he could even reach down? I ran and met him. I made sure that no one in the town would do anything against him for the shame that he brought on us all. Old as I am, somehow I made it to him first. And he started saying something about not being worthy to be my son, but I cut him off. Because he's always going to be my son, no matter what happens. So I threw my arms around him and kissed him. And the servants finally showed up, and I told them what to do. To go and get my best robe, the one that I wear for festivals and ceremonies. To get a pair of sandals to put on his feet. To get the family ring and put it on his hand. So that everyone will know that he is my son. And that I'm removing the shame that he placed upon us all. And I told them to kill the fatted calf. The one that we've been saving for a special occasion. Because what can be more special than the return of this one who was lost, this one who's now been found, this one who was dead and is now alive again. We invited everyone to make sure that everyone knew that my son was back and restored to his position. In the midst of the festivities, I noticed that my older son was not there. I went out to him and asked him to please join in the celebration. Everyone's there. Everyone's feasting and rejoicing. Please come in and be part of the celebration. Instead, he became angry with me. He told me about all of his hard work over the years, and I acknowledge that. He's always been a faithful son, always. He's never disobeyed. He's worked hard. And it's true, I've never given him anything to celebrate with his friends. But we had to celebrate. He started telling me that this younger son was no longer his brother. He was still dead to him. He started telling me his thoughts of how the property was spent. And all I could say was, you have always been with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. We had to. Because this brother of yours, this son of mine, was dead and has been restored to life. He was lost and has now been found. Jesus told this story because the tax collectors and sinners were drawn near to listen to him. Those who were lost, those who were dead to their family members, were coming, listening to him and eating with him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And just as the father welcomed his younger son, as he saw him far away on that road coming home, so our God welcomes those who return to him. Do we have the hardness of heart of that older brother one who truly is lost because he does not understand the grace and mercy of the Father, that he does not understand that it is the Son who is found, and it is the Father who is the prodigal, the wasteful one, wasteful with extravagant love and grace and mercy to all who take that journey home. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, number 608. Confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the Church, the world, and all who are in need. Jesus formed the disciples in the ways of extravagant mercy and profound welcome. Lead your church to be a community marked by forgiveness, hospitality, and celebration. Send us to transform a world plagued by fear and condemnation. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You make the land to produce a harvest that sustains your entire creation. Equip farmers and farm workers who till the soil. Nourish the earth with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Heal grounds tainted by pollution or misuse. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Countries are divided, and leaders often harbor grudges. Reconcile nations that experience conflict, especially Ukraine, Yemen. Act quickly to bring an end to war. Anoint peacemakers trained in the art of diplomacy and foster a spirit of collaboration among political rivals. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Your people cry for help in times of distress. Resolve disagreements among family members. Save those experiencing financial hardship. Hear our prayers for those who are sick or grieving, especially those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud right now or in the quietness of our hearts. Console us with the promise that everything can become new. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Your love comes to us when a table is set and a feast is prepared. Bless the feeding ministries of this congregation and this community. Bring an end to hunger in our community and around the world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. The one who is dead is alive again. We give thanks for those who have died, confident that steadfast love surrounds them. Shelter them in your love until we are gathered at your heavenly banquet. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for bringing in your offerings, for sending them into the church, or for giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory hymn, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
to reach out to heal the sick and suffering, to preach good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and in the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the blessing. Receive this blessing as you go out in mission to the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, I have decided to follow Jesus.